2025, the Earth may be hit with a solar storm so extreme that it would be harder for us to recover from than the top 10 natural disasters combined.
A four-star U.S. Air Force general has warned of a possible conflict with China, most likely over Taiwan, as early as 2025. He urged his commanders to push their units to achieve maximum operational battle readiness this year. An internal memorandum over the issue emerged on social media and was later confirmed as genuine by the Pentagon.
We've done a show here, and I've personally predicted that, actually, I think it was right before Davos or during Davos 2023, that a cyber pandemic, some kind of cyber virus, would take over that would usher in, or be a really good excuse to usher in a CBDC. Well, Klaus Schwab, that night of that show, I think at the conclusion of the show,
which was like, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Something like that. And that night at the end of the show, Klaus Schwab comes out and says, hey, we got to be careful. We got, you know, there could be a cyber pandemic, a cyber virus. And I remember Nick sending me a message or text message saying, oh my gosh, like, we literally predicted that night.
Bizarre.
Good evening, folks. This video is what many have asked for, but I doubt it will put many minds at ease. The magnetic poles are shifting. The field is weakening. The sun will micronova. And the world leaders do not seem to care about anyone but themselves. If you are new here, please check out the validation of these concepts in the video playlist link below. It has all the papers and corroborating observations. This is just an advanced concept video that comes for those who have already done their homework. When this happens, the global electricity grids will go out. Most of you know that we will have chaos in the cities. Don't get stuck in a populated area when things go wrong. Most of you know the importance of stockpiling food, water, seeds, pre-industrial tools, weapons, and clothes that will allow you to survive the weather in your area when you can't rely on power. But of course, the scariest and most deadly impact to the biosphere is the Great Deluge, the continental-level tsunamis. We believe the crust unlocks and shifts. Others believe it is mantle heaving and land rising and falling that causes the great waves, but whichever way it goes, the evidence of the cycling inundation remains. So how big will they be? Where will it stay dry? Here are the maps based on the expected crustal shift and where the inertia will force the oceans over the land, plus where the water will slosh back almost equally. We'll start with the United States. We will have to qualify these flood maps because they are programmed based on sea level rise, not tsunamis from specific directions, but it is useful to a certain degree, as we'll see. So I set the water height to the absolute minimum that would have been needed to get the oceans through the Rockies last time. That happened when we shifted and tilted back the opposite way. In this round, this region goes south, which means the water will be coming what we currently call north, and it looks like this. Now, here's the qualification. The blue throughout larger portions of Canada may not be right in the tsunami model, even though it is how this sea level change program is designed. But for the eastern United States and central United States, it's pretty darn accurate. It shows you why the parts of the Appalachians that we call quasi-survivable require you to either be floating away or running to a few select mountain peaks and then hoping you can survive afterwards when your preparations down below are likely washed away. Is it possible high parts of Michigan or Canada here could avoid the oceans and Gulf of Mexico? Maybe. But then there's the Great Lakes and the Hudson Bay. Again, this is not a tsunami program, it's just sea level rise, but it should make clear just how different the Rockies are compared to the eastern side of the continent. I went ahead and took that back down here and showed what the Arctic sloshback is likely to be up north, along with the Hudson Bay, taking out the portion about the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic coming north. And at the bottom, you can see the outpouring of the Great Lakes as well, just for your visual. Obviously, many of these white areas here are populated or a major challenge to live in without power when it gets cold, but there you go. Europe up next. Ouch. I actually made this one a bit lower of an ocean rise because it was too depressing to look at otherwise. The Arctic sloshback is actually the worst of it in this region. And by the way, again, this is my happy version, the optimistic estimation. It could be much, much worse. It kind of speaks for itself. And considering the population density and the wintry conditions in some of these high points, this is why I say Europe scares me. Oceania up next. And actually, this really doesn't do a good job of showing the risk to Indonesia or Papua. The water inertia will have run-up effects and there actually won't be as much white zones there in reality. It's just what we got with this program. Australia and New Zealand are pretty darn accurate. New Zealand, though, has major quake and volcano risk, just like Indonesia and Papua. Most of this map is about the sloshback rather than the initial inertial wave, but India, the populated regions of China, Japan, it's pretty accurate, not to mention the Arctic coming back in the inertial wave. Japan, it is notable that all the high spots are either populated or volcanoes, and the earthquakes there are going to be brutal. Look at the mountain range, though, from the northeast running all the way through the Middle East, probably much higher than many of us realize if we live just on the western side of the world. Africa and South America have major issues with the flatness of huge portions of the continents and the run-up potential, like a spill-in scenario. It's the opposite of the Rockies, where the highly elevated and outside of the direction of the water inertia regions are not the case here. Even regions not in the direct direction of the inertia are highly vulnerable simply because of the water rise around them. Would it be better to have a tsunami model rather than a sea level rise model? Yeah, obviously. But alas, this is a helpful visualization, I think. Again, new viewers, do not just trust. Do your homework, watch the playlist. I put all the verification papers and observations in there. I will see you in the morning for the daily show. Be safe, everyone.
Having a step further, in 2012, you predicted the likely extinction of humanity by 2030. 2018, you adjusted it and you said that by 2026, it is highly unlikely, and you will be severely shocked if you're alive, if humans are still on planet Earth.
So I've had peer-reviewed papers published in each of the last 2 years, 2021 and 2022, pointing to causes of rapid rise in planetary temperature. So, and you know, those went through the peer-reviewed process, so they're conservative in their findings, but they have, my research has been supported by the peer-review process, not to mention the co-authors with whom I wrote those papers. So I want to point to an example of a species that went extinct very quickly, and that actually had some advantages over humans. So the species is the San Benedicto rock wren, which was living on the San Benedicto Island off the Pacific coast of Mexico. And on August 1st, 1952, the San Benedicto Island became volcanic. It blew up. The San Benedicto rock wren was never seen again. It was extinct within a week, maybe two. It could fly. We cannot fly. Individuals undoubtedly flew to the nearby islands and even to mainland Mexico, but a San Benedicto rock wren was never seen again. That happened very quickly. It happened in a matter of weeks. Mm-hmm. To think that as a result of loss of habitat, we would not go extinct as well is pure hubris, the likes of which is only displayed by humans.
Are we not completely disregarding the very clear capability of human beings to adapt to changing climate, environment, all of those things? And I have to bring in here that credit must be given to the fossil fuel industry, because if it were not for that, then these climate change related deaths that we're being told all about today would be way worse. How are we protecting ourselves from earthquakes, from floods, from rising sea levels, droughts, all of those things? It's by virtue of the fact that we have power, fuel, and human ingenuity to allow ourselves to adapt, and as we have done for very long. So yes. Is the sweeping, there's no hope, nothing will save us prediction, whether or not it may be true, is irrelevant, but is it not possibly harmful to the potential chance that by virtue of human ingenuity that we've been forced to technologically advance ourselves and have managed to do so in the past, that we may just adapt once again?
You know, I'm frequently accused of giving up. I don't even know what that means. I'm the person who supported the Mir Reflection Framework, which I thought was our last chance. You can find it at mir.org, and Mir is spelled M-E-E-R, mir.org. And I thought it was a great idea. The idea was released after the founder of the idea, Dr. Ye Tao at the Harvard Rowland Institute, visited with me. And I thought it was a great idea, but that was more than 5 years ago. I thought it was a great idea. And governments of the world and wealthy people of the world have known about it now for more than 5 years. Nobody's doing anything.
2025 will be the year of reckoning for American women. If you remember, it was the year 2008 when the dating applications rose to a state-level institutional power in the West, especially in America. And again, women hit the wall usually 34, 35 years old. So I figured it'd, you know, take about 17 years. You know, you got girls on there at the age of 18. They are swimming in Chad's CC for, you know, the next 17 years until she's 34, 35 when she's hit the wall. And I believe 2025 will be the year of reckoning for the American female. That will be the year that her great season of sin comes to an end, where this great demonic delusion that American women have entertained for so long now will come to the forefront. Again, that's not to say that, you know, the dating application horror will end, but the social failure, the sexual failure of the American female over the past generation will be made manifest. There will be so many lonely, miserable, hopeless women. There will no doubt be some kind of, they will have to do something. The technocracy will have to do something either to hide their agenda or to reveal it to the masses. Possibly the sex robot will come out at that time, who knows. But at least on the shelves and, you know, for average people to enjoy. 2025, the year of reckoning for the American female from 18 to 35, from 2008 to 2025, the great season of sin the female gender relished in America will be fully exposed. The harvest will have come in the lives of countless millions of women. Their sexual failure, their loneliness, their failure to get Chad to commit will be fully exposed to the world. That's my prediction, the year 2025. Go to my platform website, southernprotestant.com. Go to the about page for a introduction to this platform. Go to my blog, Southern Israelite at WordPress. Hit that donation link in the description. We look greatly toward the day. We are encouraged to see the end of the American thought, and we will mock and jeer at her calamity. Southern Israelite signing off.